Appreciate that good singing this morning. All right, I need to make an announcement. I'm going to try to make it again after the service. So make announcements. I need everybody to listen. So if you're not listening, raise your hand. All right, no choir practice today. No choir practice. All right, since you did that, Johnny, we'll make you have choir practice. No, I can't do that. So no choir practice today. All right, if you would, get your Bibles open to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I apologize to the media, I did not give them the verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And if you have a Scofield Bible, it's all right if you don't, as long as you got King James. But if you have a Scofield Bible, it'll say the seven results of justification. And the reason it puts it right there in this place, because it just told you you were justified if you were saved. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come. Lord, I pray, Lord, that over the word of God that we just read, that you would take and touch hearts with it, Lord. And Lord, as we try to expound upon the word of God, Lord, I pray that you would give me the wisdom and knowledge of what to say, what you'd have me to say. Bless. And Lord, may everything be done in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the seven results of justification, that's the bulk of what we're going to be talking about today. And then there's one particular one that will be the main point. And but first of all, we're talking about the seven results of justification. But first, we need to know how to get justification. If you was on trial somewhere, you'd want to know how to be found innocent, right? So we need to know how that we are justified. Well, Romans 3:28 says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So it's through faith, not through works. And then Romans 4:24, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm going to read that again. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, we probably understand these verses, but let's just clarify it just a little bit. It's saying, if we believe on him, who is him? Him that raised Jesus our Lord. We believe on him who is God, the source of all, acting in divine power, raising the one that died for our offenses. This act is God's approval and satisfaction of the work of Christ on the cross. If we believe what Jesus done on the cross and what God done in the grave, then we are justified. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe and confess, you're justified. You're not acquitted. You're justified. Right. Not saying you never did anything wrong. It's just saying that God is holding nothing against you. Now, if you're arrested for a crime and later found not guilty, it doesn't mean you're innocent. It means they couldn't prove you guilty. There's a lot of people in the world that are arrested and arrested and arrested and never convicted. Right. And they may be guilty of every one of them, but they're never found guilty. We are all guilty of the crime of sinning against the Holy God. And we don't need a trial to prove it. We're guilty. John 3:18 says, He, excuse me, that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you start out condemned. It's not like the American justice system, you're innocent until proven guilty. No, you are guilty until you do what God says to take your sin away. When we are saved by believing and confessing, we are not just found not guilty, we are made innocent. All our sin is taken away, forgotten, done away with. God forgets it. It's gone. When the prodigal son came home, the father put the ring and the best robe on him. And when he looked upon his son after he came home, he did not see the prodigal. He sees the son. And when we are saved, we are cloaked in pure righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when God looks upon us, he does not see us, but he sees the son. This is the therefore in the first verse, in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. So we're justified by faith. Merit, acquirement, or works on our part have no place in justification. This constitutes a believer standing before God based on Christ's work and is therefore settled and unchanging. If you were saved on your works, you might lose it. If you were saved on anything that you did, on one thing or a million things that you did, you could lose it. But if you're saved, you're saved because of what Christ did, and you confess that and ask Him to forgive you, and nothing can change what Christ did, and nothing can change His forgiveness. So therefore, you are justified. We'll read the text again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Notice I didn't have my mic on. Okay. Thought I had that. Okay. Amen. So you are hearing me. Good. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. These five verses give us seven results of justification. The first three have to do with our relationship with God. The last four have to do with our experience with God. So the first one that it gives us is peace with God. We have peace with God because our past has been forgiven. Until we are forgiven, we cannot have peace with God. The Bible tells us that when we're lost, we are an enemy of God. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can have peace with God is by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus negotiated a great peace treaty on Calvary. And God signed it on Resurrection Day. And you signed it the day that you got saved. It's not like man's peace treaties. It will never be broken by God, and we cannot break it. Our peace is not just something written on paper, but it is eternally written on our hearts with the blood of Christ, and the original copy is in the book of life. True peace is knowing your past will never be brought up and you will always have peace. You know, two friends can argue and they can make peace, but they could argue again. Two countries can fight and war and make peace, but fight and war again. But when we have peace with God, when God gives us peace, when we trust in Jesus Christ and the finished works that He's done, we will always have the peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven. So the first result is peace with God. The second one is access to true grace. That's presently. We presently have access to grace with God, from God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Wherein we stand is now. We have access to this grace now. This grace wherein we stand is true grace because it is completely without merit. If you did something to get something, it's not grace. Grace is given by God. This grace is true grace because, like peace, it is eternal. So we know that when we got saved, we were justified. And because we're justified, we have peace with God. And we have access to the grace of God. And thirdly, we have the hope of glory. That's future. This brings us to the third result, hope of glory. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is our hope. And we now rejoice in this bright future prospect when we shall be with and like Christ. One day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be sinless like Christ. Because God's going to make us that way. He's already made our soul sinless. He's going to make our body sinless. He's going to give us a resurrected body. He's going to give us a perfect body. Now these first three results of justification are received immediately when you are saved, and stay with you eternally. If you're justified, if you're saved, you're always going to have peace. You're always going to have access to grace. And you're always going to have the hope of glory. There's not a time since I got saved that I did not have the hope of one day living in heaven with God. I'll always have that. It'll never be taken away. None of the first three. The last four results of justification come along as we experience growth as a Christian. Number four, tribulation works patience. And we're going to hit a snag right here, right? Verse three, woo, 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 woo. Ooh, tribulation. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now notice right here, Paul did not say we can glory in tribulation. He said we do. Paul gloried in tribulations. Not only will we experience glory in heaven when everything is perfect, we can glorify God now even in tribulations. Knowing what Jesus did on the cross, knowing God is in control, knowing Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Knowing these things, we can glory in tribulation. We don't always, do we? But we can. We should. Knowing everything is going to be perfect, we can glorify God in tribulations now. We know God's got it all under control. We talked about in Sunday school about a Joseph being sold into slavery, being put in prison, and all that had happened to him, all the bad that had happened to him. But all through it, he realized God was in control. Yes. But we don't look at tribulations that way sometimes. I remember, I'll tell you a story, hopefully you can stay with me through it. I remember when I was young, and I don't know what TV program was, but I was watching it with Dad. And they were trying to relocate a bear. And they were hunting the bear, and they had some dogs. And they had two hound dogs and some kind of mixed breed collie. And they were going chasing, and the collie was in front. And this is what my dad told me. Now, we'd never seen this. It's not like kids, it's not like TV today where you've seen it 18 times. You saw something once then, it was gone. There was nothing recorded. And so the only reason I can remember it because I had a young mind at the time. But Anyway, they're chasing, and Dad said this. He said, now that collie will lead the pack. And he will be the first one to find the bear. But as soon as they get close to the bear, he'll take his tail between his legs and run. So I'm watching, right? And they're following. And you can tell they're getting closer to the bear because the dogs are going crazy. They're sniffing. And they all get on the same little path, very close together. Collie's still in front. And they're hunting and they're yelping and they're hollering. And the collie gets further away from the hound dogs. He gets on up there. And then you see the bear. And they're chasing the bear. And they push the bear up against an embankment. And that bear rears up on its hind feet, turns around, growls, and before his front paws hit the ground, you do not see that collie again. He's gone. Now those hound dogs, they're standing there, they're standing their distance, but they're holding their ground, they're barking, they're trying to bark louder than the bear is growling. They're holding their ground. I'm sorry, Virginia, there is no lassie. But I'm afraid too many Christians are collies. They enjoy the thrilling times of being a Christian. They know what needs to be done, and they do it, until tribulation turns on its hind feet and gives a little growl. Why do some Christians glory in tribulations and stand their ground while some Christians cower and go back? The Christian that glories in tribulation, they're not saved any better. They're not predisposed to withstand tribulation better. It's not because their path is easier. And I know some people have easier paths than others, but I've seen people with harder paths are the ones that stand their ground. It's because they take advantage of verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access to grace, but we do not always access this grace. It's there. It's available. God wants us to take it. He wants us to use it. He wants to help us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants us to trust in Him, but we do not access the grace. We run. Again, Paul did not say we can glory in tribulation. He said we do glory in tribulation. We glory in tribulation because it worketh patience. Patience is the key to our continued Christian growth. Now, I hope that you've been able to stay with me to this point. I hope you stay with me through the story about the bear, because we're now at the main point of the message. Why don't some Christians mature? I was talking to a friend of mine this morning on the phone and told him what I was going to be preaching. And he said, they're in and out. You see them come in, you see them go out. You see them come in, you see them go out. And we was talking about that just a little bit. Why do they stop growing? Because when tribulation comes, they quit. They quit and turn back. They start again until tribulation comes again, and they quit again. They quit again, and again, and again. Quitters don't have patience. Tribulation worketh patience. If you quit, you don't get the patience. So these other things that's on further down the line, you never experience them. You never get to the last three if you don't get past number four. Quitters never allow tribulation to do its job. Again, in Sunday school, we talk about all the tribulation that Joseph went through. And his tribulation worked a glorious job. But he trusted in God and glorified in his tribulation. Again, tribulation worketh patience. Don't pray for patience. Just be patient when tribulation comes. Here is where you might miss the whole point of the message. You might be thinking, he's not talking to me because that's all I have is tribulation. All Christians have tribulations. Mine seem worse to me because I'm going through it. Yours seem worse to you because you're going through it. That's just natural. If I go through the same thing you go through, mine's going to seem worse to me. It just is. We can't have the mindset that mine actually is the worst. We got to realize it's worse to me because I'm going through it. Do you glory in your tribulation or do you wallow in your tribulation? We can wallow in tribulation. I've wallowed in tribulation before. We probably all have some. If you glory in your tribulation, your patience will grow. If you wallow in your tribulation, you will quit until tribulation subsides. Oh, it's just so bad. I can't do anything. I can't do anything until I get through this. And when I get through this, then I'm going to work for God. You'll work for God till something else happens. When tribulation comes back, you'll quit again. Here's the main point of the message right here. Here it is. There's one thing Christians need to quit doing. Are you ready? You might want to write down. Christians need to quit quitting. I know that's okay because I already told Pastor where I was preaching on. Quit quitting. We just need to quit quitting. We come to a certain point, and that's it. That's enough. I'm ahead of that person. I'm doing it. That's it. That's all I'm doing. Lord, I can't take any more. You know why you're ahead of that person? Because they probably got 10 times going on what you got going on. And you think you're some great Christian because you've overcome. But yet, when a certain thing hits you, you'll quit. Oh, you're going to start coming to church on Sunday night, but then you quit. You're going to start coming on Wednesday night, but then you quit. You're going to start praying more, but then you quit. You're going to start reading your Bible more, but then you quit. You're going to start doing this, but then you quit. Nothing is achieved by quitting. You lose what you have achieved when you quit. Hey, when the world sees you and you're on fire for God or you're living for God and they see you going to church and they see that and when they see you quit, if you've ever gained anything with them all, if you've ever had any Christian influence over them all, you quit, it's done. What took you 2 years to build up, you lost in 2 weeks. Listen to this quote. And you may know who said it, but probably not. Are you sure you want to quit? All unsaved progress will be lost. I'm telling you, everybody knows you don't get nothing from quitting. You know who said that? Nintendo. If Nintendo knows it, surely everybody knows it, right? I'll tell you something amazing. In the last 25 years, I have lost 300 pounds. Some of you's getting it. Some of you say, "Whoa, he did pretty good." But there's a problem with that. I've gained 360 pounds. People say this diet works, this diet don't work, that diet don't work. Most sensible diets will work if you work it. You know why I've lost 300 pounds and gained 360? Because I quit, and I quit, and I quit, and I'm not going to say how many times I quit, but it's been a bunch. If we avoid, then number five. So, if we will glory in the tribulation, then we can go on. Then we can grow in the Lord. But we gotta quit what? Quit quitting. I know there's a G on there, but we're North Carolina, so it's quitting. Number five, patience works experience. Verse says, and patient experience. And it's understood that works goes in there. Patient works experience. Tribulation worketh patience, and the byproduct of that is experience. Be patient in tribulation, and you will experience growth. Quit, and you'll lose whatever you did gain. Without patience, we never experience that deeper, intimate communion with God. See, life is a journey. And I know all kinds of philosophers and everything say that, but the Christian life is a journey. We have a journey to go through. Jesus Christ had a journey to go through. He went through his journey. Paul had a journey to go through. Peter had a journey to go through. Each individual Christian has their own journey to go through. And if we never go through the tribulation and glory in that tribulation, we will never grow. If we avoid the tribulation, we avoid the journey through the tribulation with our Heavenly Father. Well, when you're living right and you're doing right, that is a glorious thing, the communion that you have with God. So why do we let a little tribulation stop that? We avoid the experience of His loving care. Well, I'm glad there's times, there's things goes on in my life. I'm glad that I'm where I ought to be with the Lord because I need to know He's there. And I need to have in my heart, I need to have hope that He's going to answer my prayer. Listen, when you're not living for God and you need Him and you start to pray, Lord, whoa. I can't ask for nothing. I'm so far from God, He is under no obligation to do anything for me. But when you've grown in the Lord and you've walked through the dark places and He's walked through the dark places with you and you've grown closer to Him and that patience has brought experience to you and you're growing, and then you go to God when you're in time of need and you go to Him and you ask Him, and there it is. And it's not that you go to Him, oh, I hope He'll answer this. You know He's going to answer you. It is the accumulation of these experiences that brings us to the next result. Number six, experience works hope. Now, we've already talked about the hope of glory. When you're saved, you've got the hope of glory. You've got it. So we can't be talking about that if we say that it comes by experience. Because you got that when you got saved. This is a hope of what it means to live your life with God by your side. The hope of living life for God. When you're living for God, you've got that hope. You've got that hope in knowing. Now, you have to understand, hope is not, when we say hope as a Christian, we're not talking about what the world calls hope. Our hope is a sure thing. And when you're living for God, your hope in this life is a sure thing. You know God's going to see you through. You know God's going to help you if you need it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And the meaning there is, if you're doing all these things for God, and this is the end of it, oh, that's terrible. That's true. But some Christians only have hope in life after to hear them tell it. They have no hope at all here. Oh, I just can't wait till I get to heaven. Well, I can't wait till I get to heaven either. But I like living for God here. I like God living in me here. I like what He does for me here. This life is worth living now because He lives in you. You need hope to continue growing in the Lord. You need to realize that you can have that hope now, that you know that you can go to God and ask Him for your needs, not your wants. He might give you those too, but He will supply your needs. And when we have gone through the tribulation and we've gone and gained experience, we can have hope. faced Goliath, he told me, he said, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. He's a man. He's a big man, but he's a man. I'm not worried about it. David had experience. He knew. You've gone through times in your life in the past that will help you get through times in your life in the now. But if you failed and didn't go through that tribulation, it's going to be hard to get through this tribulation. But you got to quit quitting. And then number 7, not ashamed of our hope. The verse says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. As a mature, faithful Christian, you are not ashamed of your hope, because not only do you have the Holy Spirit has you. When you get to number 7, the Holy Spirit has you. And you won't be ashamed of the hope. You won't be ashamed to tell people about the hope that you have. The love of God brought you salvation, and that same love brings you the abundant life that God wants you to live. God wants you to be happy. I know you're going to go through tribulation, but he still wants you to be happy. He wants you to know he's there for you, that he will take care of you, that he will go with you through the valley. To experience the abundant Christian life, you have to quit. Again, the 7 results of justification: peace with God, access to true grace, the hope of glory. Tribulation works patience, patience works experience, experience works hope. Not ashamed of our hope. But the one in the middle is the one we had trouble with. Tribulation works patience. This is the hurdle in the race, right? You have to get over this hurdle. You have to stop straddling that hurdle. You have to stop straddling the fence. You got to get over the fence and over the hurdle. You have a great hope, but when you straddle the fence, your hope looks like hype. You've seen ball players talk a big talk. Your fighters talk a big talk. When you straddle the fence, the law says he's talking big talk. If you straddle the fence long enough, not only will you be ashamed of the Christian life, you'll be ashamed not to live like the world. You completely turn yourself around. You'll quit living for God. You'll quit bragging on God. You'll quit telling people about God. And you'll start thinking about things of the world. You'll start talking about things of the world. And you'll start doing things of the world. You'll start saying things like, is it worth it? It's not really a big deal. It's not that bad. Don't judge me. Down. Because you quit and you quit and you quit. And then you get so far quit, so far down. But this is what people forget. This is what Christians forget. God still loves you. If you're saved, God will forgive all that if you quit. I debated whether I was going to say something about this, but I'm not talking about one person in particular. I've seen, I'll say several, and this is what I think. This is my opinion. This is what I think. They get saved, and they quit. I didn't get saved. I need to get saved. They get saved, and they quit. I didn't get saved. I need to get saved. 3, 4, 5 times. And they're using it as a crutch. I don't want to say that I failed. I'll just say that I didn't really get saved. And it's a terrible testimony. It's a terrible it's a terrible message to send the lost world. Are they saved? I don't know. But if you're just coming back to God to do the same thing again, if you weren't saved the first time, you didn't get saved, you've got to really mean it in your heart. You can't use an altar as a crutch. You've got to quit quitting. If you're saved, you need to live for God. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to know in your heart. You may be sitting here today and you say, I've seen people like that just quit and quit. And I don't know if I'm a Christian, but I don't want what they got. See, that's it. It's not what they got, it's what you can have. And I know it's a terrible influence when Christians quit, but you got to look at what God did on the cross. He gave his only begotten son to die on that cross. And he shed his blood and was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And if you believe that, you can be saved. God will save you. And he will give you the peace. He will give you the hope of glory. He will give you the access to grace. And you can live the victorious Christian life and don't worry about what somebody else is doing. If you're here today and you need to, as Miss Susan comes, and you need to quit quitting, altar is a good place to do it. But mean business. Mean business. If you're here today and you've never been saved, we stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, we stand. If you're here today and you've got a Christian, you've got failures in your life and you just want to get them straightened out, come and do that. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Christ as Savior. And when I say that, you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. Maybe you've made profession, maybe you haven't. But you want to get it sure in your heart that you're going to heaven. We've got people up here that are praying with you. Take the Word of God, show you how to be saved. Show you how to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. If you're here today and you're not sure, you don't know that you're going to heaven, would you be willing to lift your hand for prayer and say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Anyone at all, by uplifting the hand, say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. All right, Christian, you're here. Anything God lays on your heart, maybe it's nothing to do with the message, but God's laid something on your heart. Don't sit in your pew, because I don't want people think I'm a quitter. If you need to pray, you come and pray. Have one coming. Anybody else? God can work on your heart without me preaching. God can work on your heart, and you need to get something right with him, or you need to talk to him. Maybe you don't need to get something right with him. Maybe you just need to talk to him today. Don't let a message like what I preached today stop you from coming to the altar. God wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to overcome the tribulation by accessing the grace that he provides for us. It's just like getting saved. God will get you through the tribulation if you trust in him. He'll get you to heaven if you trust in him, and he'll get you through the tribulation if you trust in him. Had some come out a little late, we're going to give them a little more time.